All right, it's 11, or yeah, 1:30, and we do have a quorum. I want to call the meeting to order and welcome everybody for attending. First item of business is approval of the old minutes, last meeting's minutes. They were in your packet. Does anybody have any concerns or corrections? Need a motion?
I move to approve the minutes.
Need a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Tim, do you have anything? Jeff?
No.
Jeff?
No.
Bill?
No.
Moving on up. Oh, I do have something at the, I wrote myself a note to lunch for the.
December 19th at 12:30. I had him go look it up for me. December 19th at 12:30.
At where?
It is at Uno's.
And then also always forget to say that the director's report is in our packet. The Debbie does diligently every month.
Do you have any questions?
Any unfinished business, Deb?
No.
Chad? All right, moving on, major subdivision, PRD, waiver request.
We have two PRDs. You should have the plats in your packet, Longo Vista, section four. This is a rather old one. It started, you guys gave it preliminary approval back in December 2007. There were 51 lots. And this is just the final for the last two lots, lots 33 and 34. That will finish this section up. Everything's pretty much in place for it. Roads there.
He changed the name, right? That's what threw me off.
Yeah, that was,
Sandy Shores.
Sandy Shores Estates, and I think they brought another plat a few years ago to change the name to Longo Vista.
Any problem with this one so far? You need action on this?
Yeah, final.
These are in your packet. Anybody have any concern? Looks like it's all in order. Motion? Second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved.
The other one is for Whitewater Village. This is a newer section. It's just right below the ASCII Whitewater course. It was given preliminary approval for 16 lots in January 2017. So this is the first final plat. This is just for lots 1 through 8. They've also submitted a perimeter right-of-way plat. There's no bonds or no roads in this section, so they don't have to bond it. There's a small road in the next section that don't have to have a bond or build it, but this one's okay. The only thing I'm waiting on is the homeowner documents. They were submitted to Mike Getty, but still need review.
I saw something said estimated flood breach. Is that?
Yeah, I think it's because of the pond. There is a, if that would fail up there, there is an actual breach area, but it's outside of the lot.
Just never seen that on that flat before. Any concern for this one? Motion?
I'm moving.
Second?
I'll second.
Any further questions or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved, Chad. Is there any appeals cases?
That'll be Bruce.
We have two. First one is DR 787, application submitted by Boris Lalchitsky for a variance to allow shed to within 3 feet of the side property line and to within 1.5 feet of the rear property line. The owner has purchased a buy down from the state and the property is located at 114 Beetree Lane, tax map 57, parcel 275, zoned like residential one.
Beetree Lane, is that all for?
Off the Lake Shore.
I knew that. Any problems you guys see with this?
It's already there.
That's a bit of a problem.
I didn't want to say.
The biggest problem.
It's a cart and a horse.
Yeah.
Ask for forgiveness later.
Yeah.
Do you want to make any action on this or just send it down to the, send it up, I guess?
Next. The Next one is a special exception, 470, an application submitted by Robert and Sharon Welch for a special exception for a six-bedroom TVRU property located at 256 Stillwater Drive, Swanton, tax map 59, parcel 619, lot 3, zoned also LR1.
Any issues? Everybody know where Stillwater is, down off of Glendale. It's a residential development. I think for several big houses in there now.
Yeah, this one's new construction, so they just got the building from the other day, so they're wanting to do a six-bedroom.
Any concerns with this one? All right, moving to the next item. You want to do the sign thing quick, and then you want to do the matter?
Well, let's go ahead and do the signs, if you don't mind, Chet.
Okay, Chet.
We'll get that out of the way.
Okay, the sign committee update.
Smiley is our chair.
I am.
Okay.
So we met on the 28th, I think, and put together a very good group, cross-section of the community, really. And so it was a good, productive meeting for a first meeting. We took a good summary from Mr. Getty on the current code and the impact that the REIT outcome had on the content world. And so essentially, if you have any questions as I'm going down through this, just let me know. But our task is clear that we need to remove the content-based aspects of the code. We also need to remove the majority, if not all, of the exception aspects of the code. So the current code says you can do this, but you can't do this. And Mike's recommendation is to essentially define all that you can do without having to make the exceptions. So that'll be our charge to try to do. We're in the process of reviewing a lot of other codes that have done what we've done already. Again, we came away from the meeting feeling like we got to keep it simple. I think the consensus at this point is we'd like to see it fit within 8 or 10 pages when we're done, the sign portion. And we had a bit of discussion about the fact that we're writing regulations for Deep Creek Lake watershed, which sits in the middle of largely unzoned Garrett County. And so some of the complaints and issues that people have with signage gets blamed on the Deep Creek watershed, when in some cases it is not, particularly regarding billboards and some of the temporary signs that you see. So we'll try to be as embracive of all of the other players in the arena as we can. There are quite a few of different authorities on signage that deal with signage in Garrett County. The individual towns, the state highway, the county roads, the DNR. So we're putting an olive branch out to all of them and asking them to participate, even though, you know, the code obviously will deal with the Deep Creek watershed. We'd love to see the moves that we're making embraced upon a larger segment of Garrett County so that we have a better level of consistency, which was one of the negative comments that we spent some time discussing about the fact that we in Garrett County have a disparity of sign ordinances. Investigate ways to get the towns together. Discuss voluntary property owner trade programs. So that's something that I'm just getting a grasp on, but the short comparison would be what we do on the interstates right now, where business people are allowed to have a small placard at an exit, for instance, or one is a mile ahead that says, you know, the next exit you can find restaurants and gas. That kind of thing, as a voluntary exchange of some of my signage rights, might be an appropriate way to gain a little bit of consistency. So we're going to look at that. It's going to be.
Are you at the town responding?
Not yet. Peggy Jameson is bringing it to the Mayor's Association tonight to ask them if they want to designate a representative to come to our meetings.
So when you get used to being changing over to where you can't really regulate any sign by looking at its contents, it brings to issue how you determine or define an on-site sign. And it was valuable to have Mike Kenny at the meeting. And he brought some other comparison information that in some places where he works, it's an on-site sign if you're within X number of feet of the business license address, the principal place of business. So that's the kind of change that we'd like to be able to embrace and put in the regulations, so you take all of the fuzziness away from it. And, you know, if that's where your business license is, then you can have an on-site sign within X feet of that. So I think that will be how we deal with that. Have different standards for commercial versus residential zones. Currently, it's a little bit of difference in our code, but we see the fact that we need to really regulate quantity and size and placement, and nothing to do with content is going to force us a little bit more to treat residential under different regulation than the commercial portion. So probably the home-based business will be able to have an on-site sign, but it would be smaller than if it were in a commercial zone area. If we're going to take all of the signs that are currently allowed through exception out of the code, it's going to mean that a lot of business people, landowners, are going to be making sign applications. And so we're looking at how to simplify that process by using an online application approval process that can hopefully work well with the planning department and get quick turnaround.
Dumb question. The state highways still have a part of that process now?
They do their own thing on their own, and actually Nicole talked to us about an expansion of that for some commercial components, so we're trying to get more information on that. But they basically deal with all of the signs that are within or at along their right of way on a state highway. And good segue, they have a yellow metal plate that tells you what sign number it is and that it's an approved sign and all of that. One of the things that we think might be helpful for the lake area going forward is to have some kind of an approval sticker that's maybe a color that you can see from the road, so that enforcement folks know that, okay, this one's applied for it, they've gotten it, it's been approved, and it's there. And I know that, you know, there are times as a landowner that I see signs show up on my property and have no idea where they came from. So if we're making that more routine, I think it would be beneficial. As far as where we're going on the next steps, we're waiting for Mr. Getty to complete a red line review of our current code, telling us which sections need to be rewritten, and his advice on what our current code is lacking. We believe that we need to rewrite the purpose statement and get the Planning Commission concurrence on that. So we're hoping that we can work with you, hopefully by the next meeting, to bring the new purpose statement for the signage to you, so that you are on board with it. Changes a fair bit by taking that content issue into consideration. We have asked for a meeting with the State Highway to figure out what their sign regulations are and how we can participate in having some of the signs in the right-of-ways fall under the same guidelines that we're trying to create. Deb and I are working on a timeline to try to figure out the different stages that we want to target throughout the process, so that we're not sitting here in March with things not where we want them to be, but we really do feel like we should be able to complete this exercise by late February or March. And then I've been through other processes of code revision, and I just wanted to make the point that we all, the Planning Commission, the members of the committee, the members of the community that are involved, it would be helpful if we all encouraged everybody to stay engaged throughout the whole process, not the end of it for our committee, but will be when we turn things over to the Planning Commission, then you guys will have your world, then the commissioners have a public meeting that they need to do. It's my hope that the parties that are involved in this stay with it to the end, so that other groups don't get engaged partway through and say, hey, I wasn't a part of that. So just trying to be very abrasive and invite everybody in from the beginning. And then there's a section at the bottom that we would like to have some input from Planning Commission members. What sign types do you want or not want to regulate? For instance, only those visible from public right-of-ways or other properties. That's one of the ways that some other codes are dealing with the sort of interior signs. I'll give an example. At Smiley's, I'm required to have signs about how tall you are and what it takes to be able to legally ride a go-kart, and what my pet policy is. The state gives me all kinds of regulations on those kinds of things, and I really don't think that they need to come into our purview, because for the most part, they're not visible from outside the property. Mailbox signs, believe it or not, we're seeing some LED mailbox signs that actually can become advertising vehicles. Vehicle signs, window signs, those are some of the fringe signs that we'll need some input on, so if you guys have opinions on any of those, it would be helpful. The question, do you favor the concept of stricter sign qualifications, for example, requiring a business license or being open X number of days a week, month, or year? That's a question that will relate back as we go through the process for enforcement. What is your appetite for address signs in the right-of-way, to address signs in the right-of-way? So legally, there's probably not a lot we can do, but we can certainly meet with and let the state highway folks in particular and DNR know what we're trying to achieve. There was certainly a stark difference between what signage was allowed in highway right-of-ways in Allegheny County this political season as opposed to Garrett County. Garrett County had a lot more signs in the right-of-way. Allegheny County had almost none. I don't know what caused that, but there's some difference that's making them look at policing their right-of-ways different. Creating temporary sign definitions, we talked about may flood with the permit requests, and do you like the idea of that online expedited simplified process for getting a sign permit? And what is your opinion of sign height based on road frontage elevation as opposed to X number of feet off the ground? And probably taking into account that road frontage elevation limit would still be required to not be more than X feet above the average of the local roofs, if you will, or the highest buildings in the vicinity. So the height issue is one that'll be a little sticky, and if you can give us any guidance on your thoughts on that going in, it'll be helpful. And do you have any types of signs or regulatory topics that you just really don't want to see as part of the final product? Let us know, and we'll not waste our time. That's all I've got. Oh,
pretty
thorough. Lie a little bit. We're talking about purpose statements. I went ahead and after spending a bunch of hours reading different examples of other purpose statements, On the front of this, you'll see our current code, and on the back of it, it says draft version A. And so that's my summary at this very early juncture of what kind of changes we're going to be entertaining. This certainly hasn't been vetted and discussed and put through the committee, so it is in the very early stages, but I want to put something in front of you since I believe that this purpose statement has to happen early in the project, and so that we can base the direction we're moving on sort of what we're defining as the purpose. So
that the commission members realize, I think, what did you say, we had 15 people?
We had 11.
11.
No, we actually ended up with...
There were 15 bodies in the room, I know.
They were bodies in the room, but we had two representatives of Board of Zoning Appeals.
Okay.
Of course, Bruce and I were there.
Mike Kenny.
Yeah,
Mike
so
Kenny,
there was two experts, subject
Kenny,
matter experts,
right.
Mike Getty and Mike Kenny. Mm-hmm. So they weren't part of the original membership list.
And I guess Mike Kenny has a LED sign expert, industry expert, that'll be available at some point in the process.
In January. He'll be there at the January 9th meeting.
That's what I wanted to point out, because we started out at 11, but we are actually going to have more. I think, did you say Nicole Christian is going to represent
yes.
the chamber?
She's representing the chamber. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the meetings were held at the chamber, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this Wednesday as well.
Does that seem like too many people?
No, we had a really good discussion, and we maybe didn't get quite as much accomplished as Deb and I would like, but I think we came away feeling like it was a good first meeting, or at least mm-hmm. I did.
It looks pretty thorough to me.
Keep nudging them in the right direction.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So on the question you asked for the planning committee, do you want these answers today, or you want to
I mean, if you want to just jot something down and email it to Deb or whatever, I mean, I just... like to
I mean I the reason I ask that question is because a couple of things I want your expertise design people to tell us, like a mailbox sign, is that a sign on a mailbox? I mean, like a regular mailbox, or is that
I mean, you don't really, that's where the U.S. has the authority to regulate that, but there are times, and you know, my preference, I guess, because we want to keep this simple, is to punt that one and say we're not going to deal with signs on mailboxes. But
that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Have a consensus
now,
that that's
signs,
part of
like the signs we have on construction vehicles and
vehicle signs is another sticky wicket, because you know, if it's on a registered vehicle, technically Mike says we can regulate it if it's sitting on the real estate, but currently the code doesn't regulate it, and so you can think of everything from the rush services vehicle that they park somewhere overnight to somebody that uses a tractor trailer with a sign on the side of it and parks it there. If it's a registered vehicle, you've got, you know, the potential for that. We don't have a problem with it at this point, but
by
you start looking around, there are more examples of it than really comes to mind immediately. So
see, one of the things you have to do is you have to definitely get your certain guidelines you have to follow in the construction business, is you have to have your MHIC and your building like that kind of stuff that's supposed to be written on the truck. A lot of us get away with it because we use it for personal, in fact, for personal use a lot of times. But I mean, that's something I don't know what your take is. What do you got to think about vehicle sign? I mean, I tend to agree with the mailbox sign.
I mean, if it's a parked tractor and trailer, like a whole box, and you parked it, I can see regulating that.
I mean, I have an office trailer.
On a vehicle, not I mean, something that's
okay.
Being
my office trailer says in big letters, dirt and truck, you know what I mean? So when that's parked at the WISP or your place or whatever for 6 months, is that a sign?
Yes.
Or a year?
I don't know the name of the land company on Sangaren Road, but they have a trailer that has a license on it that is an LED trailer. Is that something we want to regulate? Because I don't think currently we do.
My thought is if it sits there more than 30 days, you know, then you should regulate it. It is a sign, because the intent of it is to have it be a sign.
I'm not, Bill, I see you shaking your head. What you
hadn't thought about it yet.
Well, from your perspective, you've got a Rayleigh's car with a wrap on it.
Yes.
Is that a sign?
mean, you got a rally car, you've got.
But if you're driving it.
TaylorMade car, you got a lift car, you got all that stuff, I mean, then you're getting into.
Delano's Furniture, Grand Central Station. Yeah, to me, there's got to be some size threshold. I get bothered by the tractor trailer. I don't so much get bothered by service vans or something like that. I could see putting a component of time into it if we're allowed to control that it's at least got to be gone for 5 days of every 30 or something.
Part of that issue is you have to remember that you can't think about the content of what that sign is either. So you also have these little trailers that have these LED signs standing on them that they're parking out in front of various businesses, and that's a licensed trailer, but they're being parked there and they're staying. So
for an event sign, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Not even just an event, like the for one, the NLP has a trailer there with a message board on attached, and it's there every day. So
I mean, you don't give, you know,
that's
you drive by every day.
The same thing as a vehicular sign.
Right, you drive by every day and you're going, okay, look at that sign. You look at it, you kind of visualize it. You don't give it, there's a bunch of damn different signs. I mean, they're just,
yeah.
So when you get into regulation on it, I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, is there a square footage size? Is there, you know, that, as far as I'm concerned, is a temporary sign.
Those are things we can regulate.
Right.
Size, coloring, structure, all of that. Nothing about the wording. And you can't determine between real estate or restaurants or any of that. They have to be.
Yeah.
My thing is a tractor trailer. Just a tractor trailer is just stationary.
That's a billboard.
Yeah.
It's kind of a loophole with the movable. You know, it's not a freestanding sign. It's kind of temporary. So, you know, it's just a whole new iteration of. It's not really a sign because I can move it. But is it if you don't move it?
I'm like, that's 30 days. And you need to move it.
Well, it sounds like you would like us to at least get that through the hopper and make some suggestions.
Right.
So we'll, I hear that. We'll do that.
Because, right, the window signs, I mean, there are certain things that I just feel like that regulation doesn't do it any good because it's going to happen anyway. You're going to have to sign, please run down, say, take
one,
it out of the window.
One of the aggravations from my perspective is that we've got things in the code that never get enforced, and windows
right.
Is a good example. I mean, nobody really realizes that whatever you put in a window is part of the sign by our current code. It never gets regulated. Yeah, somebody could throw a 12-foot TV in front of a window and use it as an LED tomorrow.
Right.
And but
no, I tend to agree. I mean, that's something that Molly and I talked the other night or something. I think you and I thought that's ignoring, that's the coming trend is a TV, for lack of a better term, is going to be your advertising mechanism. It's going to be a big box that shows all the stuff. And that, I mean, it's what the LEDs are. I mean, these LEDs can do about anything. And that's something that, you know, I think you guys are doing the right thing by trying to get on top of it now. Going to change even drastically in the next 10 years, I think.
So Mike made the statement that you're pretty much not going to be able to get one color
right.
LED stuff anymore, and we talked about how to regulate the intensity of the light, and we think that you can do that through a lumen or some measure of the light intensity appropriately. So if we decide that LED or video, if you want to call it that, has a place, then will probably come with a component of lumens or the intensity of the light.
Well, yeah, I use a comparison. Some people travel there, but you look at how the aesthetic zoning in Hilton Head versus the signage in Myrtle Beach, where in Myrtle Beach the signs are like everywhere. In Hilton Head, you can't find a place because you know they got a certain illumination and the sign has to be this tall, and you know. You can't find, I mean, it's hard to find, it's dark, you know.
No backlit but, signs in Hilton Head, all front lit.
Yeah. So it's just, I said, it's tough to find a place when you're trying to find it. And I think this is something that's going to be, contentious because, you know, I'm glad you have the group you have. Hopefully they'll be able to work together and come up with some ideas. I mean, you talk about height. You know, we have a height established for a building, which is, what, 54?
I don't know it off the top of my head, but we have an average of the roofs and height from the ground. It's a combination.
Because that's an issue right now, too, because some of the signs, you know, your sign's been there for a long time. You know, the Arrowhead sign, there's some signs that have been there forever. We modify and make them and made them work. But I think a couple of them are probably, you know, some of them need to come up and some, you know, some of them, the height is going to be a contentious issue, too, I think. But, you know, I think if a sign can be done tastefully, no matter what.
I mean, if you make the regulation too stringent on height and you can't get it legible, then it's got to be bigger, it's got to be brighter, it's got to be all those other things. If we can solve the visibility issue by, you know, setting it to the elevation of the road where the traffic's going to be looking at the sign, and then back that up by the fact that we're still not going to allow it to tower over buildings. So in my view, maybe it's 10, 15, 20 feet higher than the road surface if the buildings around there have roofs that are that high. In that case, I wouldn't have any issue seeing a 40-foot high sign if there's a steep bank on the bottom side. And current code doesn't allow that. So that would be one workaround that I would have thought of and would sort of
think. Something else I've seen, too, in our travels, everybody wants to get the sign out towards the road, which is probably a thing, but I've been in places where the sign's actually set with the facility. But they set, you know, I mean, they're up or higher than the building, but they set back, I guess hotels are a good example, where they set back on the facility's property. And then they raise up above so that you can see them from when you turn into the cul-de-sac or whatever. It doesn't help you find a place, but.
There again, there's an equation for speed that you're driving on the road, the length off the road, and to make a sign subject to a setback is detrimental to the readability of the sign. It really doesn't solve or serve any purpose. So we used to be more subject to sign setbacks than we are now, but I think everybody recognized that is counterproductive. And so, I mean, signs should be able to go, in my view, up to the property line. There are jurisdictions where they work it out with the state highway right away or whatever that you can actually come onto the right of way. We have signs that currently exist on the right of way. Bill's Marine's one of them that hangs up, you know, 10 feet to the right of way.
Right. I mean, there's a couple of them right along that border. You know, that's, I think we brought up the fact that all the political signs, a lot of people would have permission to put a sign on their property. They don't realize that the state, my property is. Even with that billboard, the state owns that much there. Now, that area and right through that route, that's not the case. I mean, the state property right up to the sign. I mean, you know, some of the signs, as a matter of fact, the pole. So I think that's where these signs, a lot of these people would have permission to put a sign on your property, but they didn't know where the hell the property lies. You know what I mean? And they just figured, and that's what up in the state right away. A lot of them, I think. Mm-hmm. But heights is something I think will be your another issue. You know, how to get them up. Anybody have any other input on any questions? Now's the time to ask it. When they come back next time, maybe they can solve some of the problem.
Just a real quick comment. I came down the whole strip from Kaiser's Ridge to here. There's not a single sign that bothered me at this point, personally.
And I think that we as a community of business people and residents too, we like that, and I think we've done a pretty good job of policing ourselves. It's just that the regulations don't necessarily fit in all regards, and you know, maybe that's one thing we can come away with a little more consistent.
Well, see, our problem is
that's
again,
our purpose.
Yeah,
while we're here. Yeah.
The problem is again, Jeff. Yeah, from Kaiser Ridge to McHenry, there's no zoning.
Right.
You know, town of Axum has some minimal zoning. You know what I mean? But that's what. So if you want to put up a 4x4 plywood sign, paint it, and put a light above it, you can do that. Unfortunately, 10 years down the road, that sign's falling down and somebody forgets to fix it. You know, and so you got a sign falling down. It looks like hell coming down 219. That's the kind of stuff that we need to try to incorporate in. It's going to be tough to push it out past the boundary, but I think you can up some regulations we can incorporate into our comprehensive plan or put out a, something, at least, that's why I asked about the town. The towns have some type of boundaries that they can, like Acton runs out almost to the farm, you know, the farm attendant boundary, that would at least control that much of it. And they're out the sale barn, you know what I mean? Right. That kind of stuff. I just hope they get involved in it.
How do you feel about the having different size and quantity regulations in the residential zones as opposed to the commercial zones?
I agree with that. I think that's, you know, okay. But
I think that'll be a contentious issue, but I really feel like it's important.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I speak to that, Bill, because, you know, one of the signs that now you got the builder put a sign up, the realtor put a sign up, the concrete guy puts a sign up, you know, I mean, there has to be a time, I think, some type of time limit on that, I would think, or some type of, you know.
Time limits are a little sticky, you know, trying to keep it very cut and dry, whether it is there or not. I'm thinking, you know, we had a discussion about the real estate signs. There's a lot of times you have it for sale, for rent, and somebody working on the roof, so it's three sort of the minimum. And if you envision three on every residential property, you're going to be like shaking your head and going up, but it's not really going to happen that much. And I think if you go less than three, you're probably going to open up a can of worms that you can't regulate. So.
Well, another thing too, I'm going to say this, not because the guys here do, but some of the signage is a lot more professional looking, a lot cleaner looking and updated better than what it used to be. You used to have to be sitting out there, you know, made out of something that would rust and look like, you know, that's getting better. The signage is better. So,
Mike Kenny made an interesting comment. He said, we're so lucky to have had Barry Dominick and, you know, now can't think of his name, the guy we have now. And you know, we do have that as an advantage.
Mm-hmm. I do think it would be good before our next meeting if you guys could give us some guidance on his first sign type there about visible from the public right of way. We have had questions about what about the signs that are on the lakeside. You know, obviously if it's on a dock, it's not in our jurisdiction, but there are more signs on the lakeside, and historically we don't pay attention to those because we don't see them. They're really hard to enforce. I don't know personally that there's a whole lot more of them than there was, but I have no idea. But is that something that you guys would feel if it's on the property but you can't see it, or if you only see it from the lake?
That was selling whatever they were selling.
There was that, yeah.
That's going to be dealing with your trucks and everything else.
Well, I thought maybe talk about more about some construction signs and real estate signs that are getting placed lakeside now too.
The real estate signs can only sit in the property owner's property, unless they put them on dock. Right. Now you're seeing everybody put them on docks.
Yeah, and that was a private citizen that asked about that. So, so
exactly.
When it comes up, you gotta deal with it.
Because, you know, at one point the rental signs were supposed to be enforced with a square footed sign on it, or square inch of it, and it's been manipulated pretty well to some degree. Which, you know, the idea was to make sure that those signs weren't overly big to, you know, get, you know, try to keep them so you just saw the sign name, so you didn't have 1,000 of those around, which, because there's 1,000 of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that got manipulated pretty good because, you know, they used other ways to make it fit what they were trying to do. And things like that need to be at least thought about, talked about in that process. The goal was to small the signs down, because at one point there was actually a thought of eliminating all the rental signs if people didn't get their act together on the size of them. Remember that?
Do you know if we talked about this and nobody knew, is a private rental, VRBO for instance, if they have a TVRU license, are they required to have a sign passed at the rental units?
I would think they'd have to have something. least 911 purposes and stuff.
Well, I think.
Well, they have to have, yeah, for 911, they have to have a house number.
They don't have 911.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, that's kind of at your own risk. I mean, you, we tell them when you get a new building permit, you have to have your numbers on, but if it's an old one and they fall off and they don't replace it, that's not in their best interest, but.
Several members of the committee said, wow, I didn't know this was really this complicated.
Yes. You can talk for hours.
Great job.
There's so many facets. Stuff I don't really think about at all.
Anything else you can think of, Deb, you want to bring up?
No, I did talk to Chet about, it is always good to have consistency when you change one ordinance and have something in your comp plan, so figure out a way to put something in the comp plan that points to changing the signage. I have a feeling it might be getting done about the same time, but it should be in there.
Well, if you need, somebody to referee the meeting, let me know. I'll talk about.
You're the man.
Okay.
All right, you have questions, Tyler?
Thank you.
That's pretty nice, comprehensive.
Well done.
Smiley's good.
All right, Chet, sorry about that, we'll get to you now on the comprehensive plan.
First of all, thank you for your consideration and understanding in a slight delay in delivery, but I think we're on track, and I know that you all have got kind of our first partial draft against some of the components, and I think it's probably part of one of the most difficult parts of the plan. What we're looking at with water and environment. I wanted to go over today kind of what the process will be from here to the end and get some feedback from you on anything that you, any questions you might have already, but just kind of lay that out. So our thought process, because of how detailed the existing plan is and kind of the work that you all have done already, there's a couple different components in the draft process. So first of all, we want to replicate the 2008 plan with current data. So taking that, the way it was all laid out, and updating that with all of the current expectations, the existing conditions, the projections, all of the data work that needs to be included in the plan in a format that mirrors what is already in place in terms of how it's all laid out. We want to organize the sections so that from this point forward, as we complete something in the economic development chapter, for example, that information can be folded in easily to the overall layout of the plan. And then update the mapping, obviously. That needs to be done. It's been done for the most part, but now it's a matter of making it fit with the overall format and everything else that the plan will represent. Once that's done, and I think that's the heaviest lift in terms of getting all of that information updated, then we want to make sure that we have addressed all of the comments and ideas that you've developed in your workshops from the past year and a half, as well as incorporating any ideas that were received from the public during the engagement process starting this past summer. After that's all done, we have basically a big document. Then we want to go back and start to streamline and see if there's anything that isn't absolutely necessary that makes the plan more confusing than it should be. We want to make it readable from a public perspective and elected officials' perspective. Something that's that I understood when we were hired, that's one of the desires, was to make it more user-friendly and make it something that people use more than plans in the past. And then finally, I think from those three components, everything is basically going to be based on Microsoft Word, just for ease of use and ease of update. The final step is, once we have an idea of what the plan is going to contain, we want to make sure then that we make it something that can be published and make it attractive and aesthetically pleasing and user-friendly for people to refer to and to utilize between here and the next update. So that would include some type of a format. Most notably, I think that we've talked about using InDesign from Adobe, but something that is more publisher-friendly that can make it an attractive document for the general public to use. So that's, in a quick nutshell, that's the process that we're seeing from here on out. I think in terms of where we are right now, we've made some updates to the sections that you've seen. We also have the vibrant economy section is well underway. I'd say that's probably, in terms of that initial content, about two-thirds finished. So I expect to have that to you for review in the next week or two, and then we'll go from there. The state is reviewing what you all have now, so I'm looking for comments from them as well in terms of what needs to be updated, what needs to be changed. And what you're looking at is still rough, and there's some data that needs to be updated, which we are working on, and Debbie's been great coordinating with us on terms of who can answer what questions and provide updated information. So I think that's it in terms of a report. Take questions.
If you don't mind, I'm going to start with questions. So most of the updated data that I saw was in their water resources section.
Correct.
The land use stuff was just copied from the last one, so that's going to be part of the next iteration.
Yes.
I assume. My first question is, what's the new timeline for completion?
Well, I think it's, drop dead is what you all communicated to me was March.
Okay.
But my hope is still that it'll be before that.
All right, but we're going to have steps along the way.
Yes.
We'll see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The format, and I'll need guidance from you guys. The Planning Commission, we had talked before about making it simpler, and I had made the suggestion that the existing conditions that exist in every chapter be pushed to chapter one. I'm rethinking that and maybe thinking putting it in an appendices because just reading through it, the important stuff is what are the current issues, what are our goals and objectives, and how are we going to fix those, what are our action plans. That's what I want to see in the chapters. We have X many systems and they have this capacity is not that important. It can all be shoved into the first chapter, but that makes the first chapter really difficult to handle. I'm thinking the first chapter, the way I visualize it, I think I had conveyed this to you, but for your benefit, just pull out the important existing data and focus on projections of population and growth and things like that. But all this dry stuff of what we have and why we have it, and I don't feel it needs to be in the first chapter, and it could be in an appendix. What do you guys think?
I'm fine with that.
Well, I think most people are going to be looking for the recommendations first anyway.
Right. That's the important part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
okay.
I believe the state requires a certain amount of that. If it's not required, I generally have this rule of thumb with everything. If it's not mandated, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to use that here if it's okay with the Planning Commission. If a lot of that data is not mandated, then take it out.
Yeah, clip note.
It's hard enough to read. But there is a lot. I realize the state has a lot of mandates. So if they come back and say you have to have complete reports of existing conditions on every wastewater plant and water treatment and everything, then we have to do it. But we can do it in a better way. What's the best process to get edits to you? So as you bring them to me and I send them out to them, I have a tendency to get on Word and do edits and send them back, but I've done it through Google Docs, I've done it in different ways. How do you want to do this?
I probably two ways. If you want to get on Word and track changes and send me something back that way, that's great. Or print it out, mark it up, and send something back. I mean, it all depends on what everybody's comfortable doing.
Do you guys want to do?
I've tended not to use Google Docs, but try that.
Everybody's got a different comfort level with how to edit stuff, so what do you guys want to do? You are going to edit the documents. Just checking.
I think that...
What I'll do is I'll print it out.
He'll print it out and mark it up. Okay, that's fine.
I'm reading through your changes, and I'm kind of note your some stuff there.
I'm getting older, it's tougher to read.
You should
print it out.
Okay.
I think I'm a Word person. I typically do that anyways.
All right, so if you get it in different ways, it's okay with you?
Word is best for me.
So everybody do what's comfortable.
If it works for you, Debbie, maybe have everybody submit their comments to you, and then I can get it all at once.
Okay, yeah, that works.
On whatever kind of reason basis.
All right.
Just so I make sure that I have everything.
Works for me. I did make a couple notes, and I don't know if you're prepared to do this now, but there's under water quality concerns, it's a list. And I was wondering if those were going to be expanded upon. It's on page 2-29. It's salt, on-site septic systems. I assume those were concerns that were brought out by the public?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that will be expected.
Okay. Also, the new water surface water supplies. I don't think it had much information in it either.
Right. There's, I think the last couple sections.
And the source water protection is also, it was just a copy, so I assume that needed to be updated as well.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll probably do all the track changes on that for you as well.
That's great. Yep.
All right. I'm done with my questions. Yes. You can do it. Anyone else?
You kind of covered my questions on that, so he's going to send it to you, and then you're going to send it to us, and we'll make any edits or suggestions or whatever.
Right.
And you're going to formulate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and bearing in mind, as Chet said, the end product will probably look completely different. So,
right.
I mean, right now we're just dealing with content.
Please, it's just the text right now. It's going to be, I tend to over-dramatize stuff, but it's going to be ugly until we get to the final product. I mean, it's really just about reading what's there. Not
what's ugly now? So we're following the format we have now. It's ugly, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's functional, but it's ugly.
I agree. I can't read it because I got to go this way and that way.
You shouldn't be trying to read it on your phone.
Yeah, it's impossible.
I know.
I know my eyes on the laptop. I didn't bring the laptop along, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have time.
Maybe
just
turn
it sideways.
I need one of those big phones.
Big text.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those things that reads it to you.
Yeah.
I don't trust those. I don't trust them at all. Any other questions for Chet? Are you comfortable with this update and
if you get
the process?
If you read through that stuff and you have any questions, shoot it as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
That way they can follow up.
And for me, I have his draft in front of me, and I have the comprehensive plan from 2008 in front of me, and I'm going back and forth and going, okay, this is this section, and this is, I found that to be the most helpful.
One thing that, when I was, again, it has to be a streamlined document of some sort, I think, this time, and I think you hit that nail on the head. So anybody that wants to see a section that you don't think needs to be in there, go ahead and...
Yeah, and you can certainly suggest that. We have to run it by the state, because if it's a mandatory section, we can't get rid of it, but we can at least ask.
That's what I was looking at on my phone, and I was trying to go down through which one of those sections, you know, they're all redundant, but which one could just go completely away, you know.
I think the easiest thing to do right now, a lot of the text is incomplete, is look at the table of contents, because that's basically set up and how the final is going to look.
Right.
Even though some of those sections are missing. So if something there doesn't make sense to you, then make a note of that and let me know.
it just, it's like the signing thing, it's always, you try to do something and this is 10, that's hard to believe, this is 10 years ago. We were getting older.
You are, Tony.
I don't age.
This corner is still young. We're a little delusional too.
I just remember a lot of yelling last time.
Oh, I'm sure that'll happen again, so don't worry about it.
I don't think quite as bad. I think some of the people have mellowed.
We don't have as many contentious issues as we had back then.
Not as bad, exactly right.
Unless something comes up between now and the end, which it's entirely possible.
We were having a conversation about the guest Whittemore the other day, and, you know, guest Fredville, and I said, I remember the first time random I gave him an audience at the chamber. We were giving everybody 5 minutes. And it kept going on and on. So finally I said, I never stopped him. I was pretty rude. I said, that's it. Well, okay, now. I'm like, and after 20 minutes, you can only take so much bloviating, you know. Okay, Chad, anything else you can think of you need from us?
That's
right. Keep plugging away. I'm trying to get it as quickly as we can.
Understood. Thank you.
Nice to come, Chad.
Thank you.
Anybody else have input?
Yes, sir.
Anybody else? Bill? Jeff? Tim? Jeff? Yes, you make yes.
So your next meeting is January 2nd, but I will be out of town, so Chad will be writing it.
Maybe it's following week then.
The following week is the same day as the sign committee, and they start at 3 in McHenry, so there's no way to get back and forth. So I think it's best if we go ahead and have your meeting, but have Chad run it. Okay?
January 2nd.
January 2019.
What's that?
January 2nd.
You'll be rolling in. Yes.
We tested the
please
door.
Do.
Give me a breathalyzer.
I will be in Cambridge at Mako Winter Conference. So. At a smart growth meeting.
All right, next meeting.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Should we call the end?
Yep.
It would be nice to see 2019 come back. Say that 2018 has not been
a good
year.
Yeah, Christmas luncheon, December 19th. Don't forget. Who knows?
I hope, yeah.
It's good food.
It is. I love that numero uno.